Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. You just sit back. I'm telling you, I got a powerful word here today. The Holy Ghost gave me more revelation to share that maybe you've never thought about before. Nothing's new under the sun, but it's new to us sometimes. You get it?
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just back a little bit. 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. What a great atmosphere in here today, amen? Man. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, and my forefathers did, and as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith. Say genuine. Faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, you can see here, obviously, faith was passed down to each generation. You see that? It's important for us to pass our faith down generation to generation. Amen? Today, man, I just can't catch my breath up here right now.
Take a break.
Yeah, let me just sit down. Whew. Today I want to talk about the life of faith, specifically the characteristics of faith in the life of a Christian. Now, I get amazed when Christians say, man, I just can't get my breath up here right now. Pray right now, everybody, pray right now. Jesus, I command all heaviness to leave right now. We command it to leave this building, leave this property right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, move. Holy Ghost, flow in this place right now. Holy Ghost, fill this atmosphere right now. Whatever is coming against me, whatever is coming against anybody in this room right now, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Right now. Holy Ghost, move. Holy Ghost, move right now. Jesus said this. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus desires for his people to be filled with faith. That's why when people come against faith and say, oh, another faith message. No, this is so important because Jesus is looking for faith. Amen?
Amen.
When Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know about you, but my attention perks up. Amen? Listen to this. Faith means this: an assurance, a conviction, a confidence, a loyalty or faithfulness, a reliance, a trust upon, or being fully persuaded. Listen to this. An opposite, an antonym of faith is this: doubt, unbelief, mistrust, skepticism, and listen to this. Are you ready for this one? Infidelity. Isn't that interesting? The opposite of faith is infidelity. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Oh, I know the enemy does not want me to release this word. Listen to this. James 2, 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace and be warmed and filled,' but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith with your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is not justified by works, and a man is justified by works and not by faith only." So you got to understand this. Faith is not just a belief. Faith is a lifestyle. Amen? It's a belief that impacts your lifestyle. If what you believe is not impacting your lifestyle, it's not faith. Amen? Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christian should dictate the way you live 24/7. True faith dictates what you think, say, and do. Amen? Now, the Bible says that we are to live by faith. So when a person has truly made Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of their life, there will be evidence. There will be more evidence than just words. Think, say, and do. Amen? Now, I'm trying to lay a foundation here. Here's what you got to understand. Oh, this is good. This is what the enemy doesn't want me to preach. Come on now. Faith is always rooted in knowledge, not presumption. To truly have faith for something, listen to this. You need to know what the Word of God has to say about a specific topic. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Amen? That is why the Word says that God said, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." But listen to this. This is what you got to understand. This is the deeper meaning that people don't go into with this. Listen to this. It's not just knowing. Knowledge, the Hebrew word that's translated knowledge in Hosea 4:6. You want to know what it means? To clearly understand or to comprehend. Come on, somebody. You can know about something, but you might not understand it or comprehend it. That is how the kingdom of darkness, the enemy, can steal seeds that are sown in the heart of mankind because they don't have an understanding about that topic or benefit from the Word of God. Now, if you understand it, there would be no room for doubt. There would be no room for unbelief. There would be no room for confusion. Amen? The confusion comes when you don't clearly understand or comprehend something. Now, it's interesting. One of the requirements as a pastor, it says this: to be apt to teach. Why? To erase all the doubt. Try to erase doubt in your mind. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm trying to brainwash you every sermon. I'm trying to wash your brains, baby. I mean, I got to get out the power washer sometimes, right? Listen to this. The Word of God backs our faith. Amen? It's the Word of God that makes what we're believing God for valid. It's not just a presumption. Amen? It's not a worldly kind of hope. All right? It's like those who believe in reincarnation or evolution. There's nothing in the Word of God that confirms that belief. You get it, right? There's no basis or backing for what they're believing. When someone believes that, what do they usually say? Well, I just kind of feel that way. I don't care how you feel. It's gas. It's gas from that Taco Bell you ate last night. Amen. There's no basis for it. So here's what you got to know. It is possible to have knowledge of what the Bible says about a specific thing, but not to have faith in that thing. Knowing something doesn't guarantee faith in it. Understanding leads to faith. So now, if someone says, oh yeah, I heard that before, well, you know what? I don't put much stock into that. My next question is, do you understand it? Do you comprehend what the Word of God, what God is trying to get across to you? Because that's what will ignite faith on the inside of you. Now, maybe because of a tradition, you went to a church that never taught a specific thing or a doctrine. You got to remember this now. Spiritual maturity is not based on knowledge only. Spiritual maturity is based on applied knowledge in your life. It means you're acting on the Word of God. Amen? Now, remember this. The knowledge that you gain from the Word of God is absolutely worthless unless you apply it into your life. Just like I talked about last week, Luke 10:19. Jesus said, I give unto you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions. Well, you just can't repeat that verse and expect protection. It's an instruction to use your authority. That's when nothing will harm you, when you use that authority. Amen? So it must be applied knowledge in your life. I don't know if I said this or not, but the name of this message is the life of faith. The life of faith. It must be applied knowledge to your life. Wisdom, by the way, is applied knowledge. That's why the Word of God says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the most important thing because it goes beyond just knowing. It goes into applying the Word to every area of your life. Now, when you are living the life of faith, you are doing what the Bible calls walking in the light. I like that. Amen? Say, I'm going to walk in the light. You are allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide every area of your life. Walking in the light means that you have a revelation of the Bible. You have a revelation that it's more than just a good book, more than it's a best-selling book of all time. No, you have an understanding that it's the Word of the living God. And it's the rule, the standard by which we are to line up with in every area of our life. Amen? It's the righteous standard from our Creator. Psalm 119:105. Says this. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God should not just dictate what we believe, but it should dictate in every area in conduct of every area of our life. Amen? Say conduct. Conduct. It means every area. That's what walking in the light is, meaning your entire conduct of your life. Anytime, listen to this, anytime you live outside of the boundaries that are set forth in the Word of God, you are in spiritual darkness. Did you know that? When you are into something that the Word of God forbids, the Word of God says you're in spiritual darkness. If you feel like any area of your life, if you feel like your life, that you're in a dark place in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to apply the Word of God to that area of your life. You need to pick up the lamp and let it shine in that area of your life. When you're living or walking and living a life of darkness or unrighteousness. You are living a life of deception, thinking that you're okay doing your own thing, but really, you're on the devil's territory. Amen? When you're walking in darkness, you are opening, really what you're doing is, you're opening yourself up to Satan and evil spirits. Now, I'm talking to Christians, because an unbeliever, all they have is darkness. You have an option. Really, you shouldn't have an option, but because of free will, there is an option there. Are you getting it? You're setting yourself up for a fall. If you're going to walk in the dark long enough, listen, at home tonight, turn off all the lights in your house and walk from one side of the room to the other in the dark without cheating. Eventually, you're going to trip. Eventually, you're going to fall. And that's the same way here. If you're basing your life on anything other than the Word of God or outside of the boundaries of the Word of God, it's just a matter of time until you will hit rock bottom in your life that you're going to trip on something. Amen? Don't ever forget, spiritual darkness always attracts Satan and evil spirits into your life. But the Word of God is that lamp. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light unto our path. It will keep you standing and prevent you from falling in this dark and evil world. Amen? How many of you know it's a dark and evil world? Now, I'm just setting this thing up. I haven't gotten into the deep stuff yet. Now, so it leads us in the path of life. It says to stay on the narrow path. We need to stay on that narrow path. Amen? Now, go to John chapter 12. Breathing clearer now. Thank you for the prayers. I tell you, there's definitely some warfare going on right there. John 12, 42 through 46, I want to take a look at. We need not be afraid to call on help when we need it. Amen. Even pastor had to call on you to pray today. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
There ain't no shame in my game. Listen to this. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me," here it is, "should not abide in darkness." So, listen to this. Staying in the light of God's word. You know what it'll do? It will keep you, here's what it does. It will prevent you and keep you from breaking covenant with God. Now, when you're pursuing to know Jesus more and more, and be obedient to his commands, you will not abide in darkness, but you will abide in the light. Now, here's the deal. The Greek word that's translated darkness there, here's what it means. It means evil, sin, obscurity, ignorance, or here it is, moral depravity. How many of you know this world we're living in is filled with moral depravity right now? Right? I mean, we're in a month right now where they labeled it Pride Month. Really? Come on. Trying to steal the rainbow from God. Well, that ain't going to happen. Amen? Now, a scripture that talks about the consequences of danger of not giving the Word of God place in your life. I want you to read this for yourself at a later time. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32. It talks about making a God that fits your own self. Okay? Instead of receiving the true and living God of the Bible. And that it will lead you through a path of darkness. Listen to this. Romans 1:32 has harsh words for those, not only those who do evil things, listen to this, but then it goes on to say that those who, listen, approve of evil things. Listen to this. According to the Word of God, approving sin is just as bad as doing that sin yourself personally. Did you know that? Now, here's what the Holy Ghost said. You tell them to think about that when they're in the voting box. In the voting booth. Come on, somebody. Now, I want you to notice in John 12, 42, it says that many of the rulers believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not publicly confess Jesus as Lord and the Son of God. So here we go. Now I finally set the pace. Want some revelation, deeper revelation? The first characteristic of the life of faith for the Christian is that you will not be ashamed to publicly confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Go to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you something here. Romans 1, 16 through 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Listen to this. If you truly believe that you hold the answer to keep people out of the pits of hell for eternity, don't you think you will want to pass that good news on to someone else? Or is it just a religious game to you? Is it just a Sunday show just to ease your conscience? Are you fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you fully persuaded that the Word of God is absolute truth? Amen? Now, I want to show you something here. That those Christians that do not confess Jesus before others, and really what this is saying, that Christians that are not operating in their gifts or calling are hindering angelic assistance in their life. Go to Luke chapter 12. Here we go. Luke 12, verses 8 and 9. Luke 12, 8 and 9. Jesus said this, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." I don't know how much clearer we could get on that. The angelic assistance that we as Christians receive is in direct proportion to how much we are confessing Jesus to a lost and dying world. And really, again, here's what it means. Not just that. What it's really talking about, what Jesus was really saying, is you operating in your God-given calling and purpose depends how much angelic assistance you'll have in your life. Now, let me back that up because some of you are saying, yeah, right. Ready? When the angel visited Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 to give him supernatural direction, the angel told him this, that your prayers and alms, or the given to the poor, has come up before God as a memorial. And it was playing a part in God sending an angel to him to give him a divine appointment. He shared his faith with others, the Holy Ghost said. Listen to this. This is inferring that this divine appointment would not have happened if Cornelius was not praying, given to the poor, or ministering to others. Are you getting it? Now, the word infer means this. It didn't literally come out and say those exact words, but from what was said, it's inferred. Right? It's like if I tell you yes about something, right? Okay, I'm inferring no is not going to happen. Are you getting it? Okay, now listen to this. Remember this. The benefits of protection signs and wonders following a believer, according to Mark 16, 15 through 20, all of the signs and wonders, the protection, all of those have to do with this. You being in process of operating in your God-given calling and purpose. You want to know what it means? Ministering to other people. Are you getting it? Ministering to other people. And that's really what our purpose is on this earth. So if you're living a selfish life and you're not operating in your God-given purpose, you're hindering more angelic assistance in your life. If you are ashamed of Jesus before others and not living for him, it says, he said it right here, he's not even going to confess your name in front of the angels. His hands are tied because of your disobedience and lack of faith in the word of God. Psalm 103:20. Listen to this. Psalm 103:20 says that when we give voice to God's word on this earth, it says that angels respond to it. They respond to our faith in the spoken word. Amen? Now listen to this. This is something I've never seen before until I studied this. I'm telling you, just revelation's been flowing. Part of that meaning is giving voice to the word by sharing it with other people. Listen, this is what the Holy Ghost said. It's part of giving voice to his word on this earth is ministering to other people, not just an empty confession to yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. We got to get moving and we're doing the work of the kingdom. Amen? We got to put our hand to the plow here. It is ministering to others. It's flowing in your God-given purpose. Listen, your God-given purpose is not the job that you're working right now. Do you know that? That's right. It's an assignment to be able to minister to others. But we get too focused on ourselves where it's always about us. It's always about us. It's always about me. No, it's not. It's about him, and it's about ministering to people. Amen? So where you're at right now is an assignment. Go to Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3. I don't know about you, but I need all the angelic assistance I can get. Now, so what increases our faith as Christians? Is there a part we play in it, or are we just waiting for God just to drop faith on the inside of us? Well, there's the gift of faith where he drops it in you, but you know, you really outside of that gift, that you might not have that gift of faith, which is an empowerment from the Holy Ghost for a specific work or a miracle or for a healing for someone. But look at this, Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt, here it is, underline it, has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Say measure of faith. God has given to us as Christians, as humans, the measure of faith. He has given us the ability to have faith. Now, the amount of faith that we have is up to us, all right? The Bible talks about no faith. It talks about little faith. It talks about being full of faith. Are you getting it? It's like this. I like to say it like this. It's like God gave us, when he created us, a measuring stick that says faith on it. But the amount that we possess is up to us. It depends on us. So how does faith come? We're going to get into some revelation here. How does faith increase? Go to Romans 10:13 through 17. Romans 10:13 and 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? See, there's your part right there. Who's believed it? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, I need you to wake up. If you know, shove your neighbor next to you. Wake him up. Here we go. Listen to this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I looked up that Greek word hearing. And do you know what it means? Hearing. I was shocked. Just absolutely blown away by that. But listen to this. Literally, that verse means that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It literally means this, that faith comes from a continual hearing. Not just one time, but a continual hearing, right? Now, I know what someone says, Pastor, you say that all the time. We get it, okay? Okay, so faith comes when it has your attention and focus. Now, here's something interesting about Romans 10, 17. In the Greek, the literal translation of Romans 10, 17 is this. So then, faith comes by hearing. You ready for this? And hearing by the word of Christ. Did you know that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, here's what you need to know. Christ, or Jesus, is the word. Amen? He is the Logos word. I'm going to break that down for you in a moment. Really pay attention now. It is interesting that Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said when the Holy Spirit comes, he would bring to remembrance, what? Everything he said. Jesus. Romans 10, 17 calls it the word of Christ. Are you getting it? So listen to this. So Jesus was not just saying this to his disciples presently at the moment. He was saying it to all of you. He was saying it to all future believers on the face of this earth. Amen? We're going to go deeper. Say, go deeper. Here I go. So the Holy Spirit's function then is to interrupt our wrong focus and try to shift our attention and focus back on the word of Christ or on the word of God. Have you ever had that before? That you're doing something, and you keep having this gnawing feeling on the inside. That's the Holy Ghost trying to interrupt your attention. He's trying to interrupt your thoughts. He's trying to get in there. He's trying to say, hey, no, you got this all wrong. Look at this. Let's take a deeper look. The Greek word that's translated word in Romans 10, 17 is rhema. Now, which means the spoken word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of Christ, the spoken word. Listen to this. The other Greek word that's translated word, I just said it a minute ago, is logos. Say rhema and logos. Meaning, the word logos is the entire word of God contained, generally contained from Genesis to Revelation. This book is the logos. The word of God. Amen? Now, a rhema word from the Holy Spirit is a portion or a part of the complete word given to us for a specific situation. The Holy Spirit gave it to me this way. Let me make it real simple for you. The logos is like a big box sitting right here on stage, and it's full of Legos. That's the entire word of God right there in that box. And then rhema means you take one Lego out. That's, and it's spoken to you. That's rhema word. You getting it? So, logos is the general or complete word of God, and rhema is the spoken word for a specific situation. So, faith comes, it says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes from a spoken word from the Holy Spirit in our spirit or heart for a specific situation. Now, or you could say it this way, by revelation from the Holy Spirit. You got to get this. The rhema or spoken word is a combination of a Christian speaking and the Holy Spirit given revelation on the inside of you. Listen to this. A rhema word is first spoken into our spirit by a person. All right? And then that revelation, the Holy Spirit gives you revelation of it on the inside. And then you need to verbally release or speak that rhema word that you received on the inside for it to impact your situation or life. All right? Now, listen to this. What do I mean by that? Have you ever listened to a sermon and suddenly, all of a sudden, you heard the minister say something and it just jumped out to you? And the Holy Spirit reveals something on the inside to you. Amen? And it increased your faith. That's a rhema word. That's the Holy Spirit taking this big box of Legos and pulling one out and say, here's that Lego that is for this area of your life. This is the one that you need to stand on for this situation. Are you getting it? So, not only were you listening to the sermon, this is, you got to get this. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. I've never preached this before. Listen, not only were you listening to the sermon with your physical ears in the natural realm, but you were also listening with your spiritual ears in the spiritual realm. That's the explosive combination when both ears are open to hearing. That's why faith comes by a rhema word and not by the logos word. Are you getting it? Now, hold on. Let me just say this. Have you ever noticed, this just jumped out to me when I was writing this. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Did you notice hearing is in there twice? The Holy Spirit said the first hearing is for your natural ears. The second hearing is for your spiritual ears on the inside. Never preached that, never knew that, but that jumped out to me as I was writing this. That's why people can hear the word of God over and over in the natural, but they never hear it on the inside, and it never turns into revelation or faith on the inside to them. Now, oh my, listen to this. I got so many notes on here. Just be patient with me, all right? Here, the Holy Spirit said this, that you need to hear it over and over with your physical ears to get the attention or focus of your spiritual ears to hear it so that it will get into your heart. Oh, come on. How many times does that take, Pastor James? How many times does it take for that to happen? I don't know. It's different for each person. It needs to get in your heart to be meditated on, and that's what the enemy is trying to hinder. Oh, come on, listen to this. Jesus said these words. Now I know why Jesus said these words. It makes so much sense knowing that there's the physical ear and there's the spiritual ear on the inside. He said this, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Your focus, listen to this, your focus determines if your spiritual ears will hear what is spoken and heard in your natural ears. Why do you think it's so easy when you sit down after praise and worship, why do you think it's so easy for you to doze off when a pastor's trying to preach? Now, no one would do that here. No one would fall asleep in my messages, I know. But why do you think there's such a temptation for that? Because the enemy's trying to cut it off your spiritual hearing. The enemy's trying to break your focus so you won't be here with your spiritual ears so it can stay out of your heart. The parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. My goodness, that just... So that's why it takes a hearing and hearing. Because, listen, in hearing is different than listening. I've said it before, let me say it again. If your spouse is talking to you, but you're focused on something else, you'll hear something. You'll hear a noise. Right? You'll hear a noise, even if you're not paying attention. But you can't put the words together and comprehend what was said. That's why you always say, what did you say? Forget it. I'm not going to tell you. No, what did you say? I'm ready now. Just tell me again. Oh, honey, please just tell me again. I'm sorry.
That's never happened with
us. Right, right. That is just a general example, sure. But the Holy Spirit said that's the same thing. When you can sit in thousands of sermons after sermons, if your focus is not on the word, all it is noise. That's why Jesus said, listen, be careful how you hear. The how is the focus in having your undivided attention. Are you getting it? How many of you know you can even read the word? I can read a whole chapter and forgot what I read. There's no comprehension of it. Why? Because your mind's thinking, oh, we're going to get ice cream after this. Oh, what are we going to watch on TV after this? Are you getting it? These are practical examples right here. For real. I can read a whole chapter and be like, I don't even know what I read. And that's a scary thing, isn't it? Now, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Guess what Greek word is used in Hebrews 4:12? It's logos. All right, the whole word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? When the word of God is heard, the Holy Spirit uses it to shift our focus to meditate on that word. Here's what he said, to supernaturally awaken a response of faith on the inside of us. When you read the Bible out loud, your physical ears and your spiritual ears are both hearing it. You know, when you're reading the word, read it out loud. Amen. Read it out loud. It helps. It helps to capture your attention, right? It should. Okay, so listen to this. So when you're reading or hearing the word of God, you are learning about the will of God. You are getting to know how much he loves and cares for you. You are hearing and reading scriptures that talk about God's faithfulness. So you're filling yourself with God thoughts. Amen? Your trust and faith in God are being supernaturally built up. Now, here's another revelation the Holy Spirit gave me about praying in tongues. Jude 20. Jude 20 talks about how praying in tongues builds up our most holy faith. You remember that? It builds up your most holy faith because when you pray in tongues, are you ready for this? This is what the Holy Spirit told me, why it builds up your most holy faith. It builds it up because the Holy Spirit is giving you words to speak, which includes the Word of God. He said this, it includes the Logos and the Rhema when you pray in tongues. So when the Logos and the Rhema come together, boom, it's the most holy faith. That's why when you pray in tongues, your faith increases. That's why when I pray in tongues more, I flow more in the supernatural. I'm flowing more in the gifts of the Spirit like never before. I see more people getting healed. Are you hearing me? So when you pray in tongues, your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, you are speaking the Logos and you are speaking Rhema words, and it's combustion, baby, in the Spirit. Your mind and understanding are unfruitful, but you got to remember this. Faith is a spiritual thing, not a carnal thing. Faith is of the heart on the inside, not up here. You getting it? That's why praying in the Spirit. You're saying, mind, sorry, I don't need you right now. Mind, I need you just to go take a break for a moment because I'm going to pray from my spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells, and I'm going to be praying out some Logos and Rhema, and in the Spirit, you're lighting a fire. Glory to God. So as you continue to read and hear the Word of God, your mind is getting renewed. How many of you know we need to renew our mind? Romans 12, 1 through 2. And it's starting to align your mind with your spirit, man, your born-again spirit. That's where transformation comes forth. Amen? Now, let me keep on trucking down the road here. Now, if you want more interaction with the Holy Spirit, you need more interaction with the Word of God, the Logos. Amen? The Word of God attracts the Holy Spirit into your life. And really what it does is it makes you more aware of Him. Amen? The author of the Word of God loves to teach us more about his book. The Holy Ghost is the author. Amen? Man was just an instrument for the Word of God to come through to put it on paper. But the author is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, here we go. Almost done here. Living a life of faith means that you will leave your familiar surroundings and comfort zones. I talked about this a few weeks ago. And the Holy Spirit said, throw it back in. Throw it back in, he said, because some didn't get the memo. So go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Living a life of faith means that you will leave your familiar surroundings and comfort zones. A life of faith is not always going to be cozy to your natural self. Amen? Genesis 12, 1 through 3 here. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So you're just going to have to accept this truth right now. Not every friend, not every family member is going to stick around and support your walk with the Lord. You get it? Anybody find that out yet? If you've been born again for 2 seconds, you probably found that out by now. Amen? But you need to know this. You are going to have to give an account on Judgment Day, right, for your own life. Blaming a family member is not an excuse. You're going to have to give an account. God's going to say, "Well, listen, Pastor James was preaching to you twice within 3 weeks this point. Why didn't you do anything about this?" Oh, you guys, you're tired. Now, listen. It's all right. It's all right. I still love you. Listen to this. James 2:23 refers to Abraham as a friend of God because of his faith and obedience to put God at the very center of his life. Amen? So many times, listen to this. Many times, more than not, the enemy's not going to use an unbeliever to come and give you a hard time. He's going to use family members and friends to keep you from entering the will of God for your life or try to hinder that. Amen? I was just listening to Nancy Dufresne. She had camp meeting this week, and she made it very clear. She said, you know, she goes, I love my family. I love my family. I love them all, but God comes first in my life. God comes first. Amen? Oh, it was just powerful. You should watch YouTube her camp meeting this week. It was powerful. But God told Abram to come out of your comfort zone and follow my leading. And he said this, "Abram, if you will do that, my blessing will be upon you like never before." Amen? Here we go. Living the life of faith means that you will not look back and regret after giving your life to Christ. Look at Luke 9:57 here. Luke 9:57. Don't ever look back. We got the example of Lot's wife, right? Luke 9:57 through 62, I'm going to take a look at here. It said, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.'" Don't you think after a while, these people that are getting rejected, they'd finally say, "I'm going to stop asking him." Right? "I'm going to stop because he's going to shoot me down," but they keep going, you know. And another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." My goodness. Being fit for the kingdom of God means that you are more willing to move when God says go. It means that you know that the most important thing in your life is to obey the word of God, obey the Holy Spirit, obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The only way to be fit in the kingdom of God is to have and maintain a spiritual mindset and walk by faith. We need to get fit for the kingdom of God. You need to exercise your faith. That's why it's the life of faith. It's not just an instant of faith. It's a lifestyle. Amen. And you're going to go through things. You're going to go through storms in your life. You're going to go through storms that are just going to try to knock you right off of your feet. It's going to try to take the breath right out of your Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, but Pastor, you're not talking in faith. No, this is reality. Sooner or later, there's going to be circumstances in your life that you're going to have to hold on to the word. That wind's going to be blowing. Those waves are going to be crashing. And you're going to have to hold on tighter than ever before. That's why it's a life of faith, not an instance of faith. Now, I want to close with just one last scripture here about some power-packed instructions for the Christian. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm done. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22. I might even get you out early today. We'll see. Unless the Holy Ghost has a rabbit trail here, and that's not written down. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. I want you to notice all these commands in just this short little phrase. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. You know, you might want to read that verse every day because there's a lot of good instructions in there. Amen? Verse 14 says that we are to warn those who are unruly. Now, that's not a popular thing, but it's in the Word of God. You know what that means? It's exactly what we talked about in the men's ministry yesterday. We as Christians, we are supposed to be watchmen on the wall. Amen? And we are our brother's keeper. We are watchmen on the wall. We can rejoice always because as long as you are on God's side, He is on your side. Amen? The Bible has a promise for every situation that you're going through. You just need to do this. You need to start digging for some gold. Yeah, you need to start digging for some gold. And when you get down to that gold, you know what else you'll find? You'll find a lamp. That's going to shine light on that situation in your life. Yes, yes, it's a lamp like Little House on the Prairie. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, you want to modernize? You'll have a flashlight. Here, how you like that? You people. Listen. Always remember this truth. To live the life of faith, you need to be Holy Spirit sensitive and not seeker sensitive. Amen? If you will be focused on the Word of God and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you will have faith, you will have assurance, you will have conviction, you will have a confidence, you will have a loyalty, a faithfulness, a reliance, a trust, and you can be fully persuaded what God said is yours, you're going to latch on to. So church, it's time to jump in with both feet. Amen? And it's time to live the life of faith. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. So we hear, we put ourselves, we position ourselves. People, we got to position ourselves to hear the word with our physical ears. Why? Because we're trying to get it down into our spiritual ears. Prayer team, come forward. Hallelujah. Wow, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. The minute I walked down during praise and worship and came around that corner, man, I felt the electricity of the anointing. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Do not leave this building without making Him Lord of your life. If you've never done that, I want you to come to this altar and pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, maybe you're in this place, you're backslidden, you've fallen away, and you want to make it right today. You want to come back home. You're tired of eating the pig slop of the world. And the Father says, come back home. He says, I don't care what you've done, just come home. If you want to rededicate your life, come forward this morning and pray with one of the prayer team members. You want to learn about the Holy Spirit baptism? You want to be prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit baptism and learn about praying in tongues. It's powerful. I want you to come down to this altar. You need prayer for anything else. They will stay here as long as you need to receive prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you would encamp every person right now with your holy angels. I pray you would go with them. I pray they'd have a week of breakthrough. I pray they'd have a week of breakthrough like never before. And I cancel every demonic and satanic plan of the enemy over their life right now. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, hey, quick reminder before I go back and shake some hands here. Don't forget, if you were a member of this church before I came here, we need you to fill out a membership form. All right? It's on the back table. And what we're doing is we're updating our directory. If you took the class and you haven't, filled out the form, we need you to do that, especially if you're a volunteer here. And we're going to be probably scheduling another one soon, right? Probably. Rob's doing a great job on that. So, all right, I love you all. If you need me, you know where to find me. God bless.